Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, April 25th. We're back from OKC. You're watching Wing TV, and I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's great to be back. And you don't appreciate this until you're away from it a while. And we just
you don't appreciate it until you spend 65 hours on buses.
Exactly. And we just want to thank everyone that expressed concern for us out there, that wished us a welcome back. Mm-hmm. And it's great to be here. We're glad you're tuning in. Now, before we get started, tonight we're going to appear on Dr. Gianni Hayes' radio show, The New World Order Disorder. You can find all the information and the link on the Wing TV homepage. And what we're going to do today basically is give you a behind-the-scenes view of what happened during our trip to Oklahoma City. I'd like to say thank you to Michael out in Kansas, Tom down in Texas.
Michael Danielle, in Arkansas.
In Arkansas, I'm sorry. Tom down in Texas, Danielle, and all the other people.
Right, Tom in Texas, a guy, Dave, who drove out just for that rally and brought his own signs. We appreciate you and your family driving out, too.
Right. We also met some of the survivors from the Oklahoma City bombing, a woman that actually lost her mother in this, and also Mr. Yakey's mother and...
Wife,
exactly. And he was the police officer that was the first on the scene and was later murdered because he had so much information. We hope to bring her on the show sometime. Also, we got a lot of stuff here to show you. So
yeah.
We had a chance to go to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Right there's the brochure for that. And this museum pretty much took the official party line, so there was no revelations.
Yeah, I think Chris Emery did say that 38 of the exhibits at the OKC Memorial Museum don't even match up with what really went down there. They don't jive with the facts, so...
Yeah. Also, this is a copy of the speech that I had originally intended to give out there, but due to time constraints, I wasn't able to, but it's called the OKC Bombing Elohim City Connection, and that's on the Wing TV homepage right now. And this is, in our opinion anyways, the closest to the truth as to who the actual implementers were of this bombing, and it just blows this whole thing right out of the water, and it's very, very different than from what the mainstream media is giving.
What Victor did was put this chapbook, he turned his speech into a chapbook and then placed it outside of the speaker's forum on the day, April 20th. So people could just pick them up for free.
Yeah, so we had about almost 100 copies out there, and they were scarfed up, you know, by the end of the night. And also, I was going to give this speech, but then the night before the speaker's forum is what, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, we're getting back to our hotel room, and I say, Lisa, I don't think I'm going to give this speech tomorrow, and I've been preparing for it for weeks on end.
Yeah. The night before.
And she's like, what are you talking about? You're not going to give that speech.
Yeah, you freaked me out.
And so I said, I don't know. We don't have time for it, so I'm just going to go up there and wing it. And that's what I did. Went up there, no notes, no anything. And speaking of the speeches, tell...
Right. You can listen to 9 of the 15 speeches that are available. The rest of them will be available soon. And there's also going to be video. It's my understanding that video of the speakers forum will be online very shortly at 911busters.com.
Right.
And if you scroll down the homepage, you'll see Oklahoma City bombing evidence. You click on that link and you can stream or download the available speeches. As I said, 9 of them are up right now.
Yeah, and that's right on the Wing TV homepage in the center column. And there's speeches there by Hoppe Heidelberg and so forth. And we'll get to that a little bit later. The gentleman that filmed all these and recorded them, he also gave us
Steve Casilli.
Yeah, Steve Casilli. He gave us some CDs out there, one for the 9/11 LA Forum, and also this one was a Citizens Commission, 9/11 Commission.
Now we give this guy a lot of credit. He stood there from 9 o'clock in the morning till 8:30 at night, possibly even earlier than that.
Yeah, about 9:30 at night.
And he recorded all of the speeches, and it was a long day.
Yeah, it was about 12 and a half hours of speeches that day, and he recorded every one of them, so.
Hats off.
Yeah, very well done. Also, Pat Shannon was out there from the American Free Press, and they actually put out a special edition just for this conference, and it's uncovering the OKC cover-up. And
Pat did a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
on his feet, and he was riveting, and we were so glad that we could be there and sit there and talk to him and listen to him in person.
Yeah, and Pat also gave us a copy of his book, Maybe the People Have the Answers, mm-hmm. and he definitely had one of the most enjoyable speeches there. I mean, all of them were great, but he was particularly, I guess mm-hmm. we have a soft spot for the, for the American Free Press.
Yeah, we do.
Also, the first night we got there, that would have been Sunday night, I believe, we were picked up by Chris Emery, and we went over to V.Z. Lawton's house.
Right.
And we've had him on Wing TV before, and he's one of the survivors mm-hmm. of the bombing. He was working for HUD at the time. He was on the 7th floor. Now, the reason we went over there was because Fox News that night at 8 o'clock devoted an entire hour to the OKC
right.
bombing.
Many of you may have watched that yourself. Rita Cosby was going to be the commentator on that show. And so a lot of the survivors and people on the investigative committee and us gathered at V.Z. Lawton's house to watch this presentation by Fox News, which was a bomb.
Right. Now, they had some very high hopes for this, that mm-hmm. that Rita Cosby and Fox News were going to crack the silence and bring out some new revelations. Now, we weren't ones that had these high hopes because we knew the way Fox News and these people
right.
work. And
the crappy thing was that Rita Cosby had actually spoken to V.Z. Lawton a few times and had convinced him that she's on our side.
Right.
And then she went right on the TV and didn't tell the truth. And the man was devastated.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Fox News was there at V.Z.'s house for about 4 hours that day, 2 hours interviewing V.Z. and 2 hours interviewing Charles Key. And I guess Charles Key was originally supposed to debate these FBI agents, the one that were part of the cover-up. Well, they canceled that. Then out of these 4 hours of interviews, they used, what, maybe 45 seconds of
yeah.
V.Z. and nothing.
Nothing on Charles Key.
Right.
Charles Key didn't even get on that show at all.
So they devoted like the first half an hour to these FBI informants that were blowing the smoke screen.
And they said nothing about bombs in the building.
Right. Nothing whatsoever. So by the end of the show, everyone was kind of like dazed by this. And I said, did any of you really think Fox News or Rita Cosby was going to tell the truth about this?
Right.
You know, and V.Z. was kind of thinking that Rita was on our side or his side. And I said, V.Z., she was never on your side and she's never going to be.
That's because she convinced him of that.
Exactly.
She pandered to him to get the interview she wanted. And so she could spin it however she wanted.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dishonest, Ms. Cosby.
Yeah, it was par for the course. And I guess V.Z. had her direct number and was going to call her later on and let her know.
Well, she had said that she wanted him to call her. And then when he did, he got an answering machine. So she must not have wanted to talk to him too bad.
I wish I would have got my hands on that number. I would have liked to give her a call. Now, then, the next day, Monday, the day before the rally, we went down and were passing out flyers by the memorial. And we got escorted off the premises or the area about three different times. Nothing major.
Right, we weren't supposed to hand out the literature inside the memorial itself, so we stood directly outside where we were accosted by some police two or three different times and a National Parks person who expressed his opinion to Victor that we were disrespecting the dead by handing out the other side of the story to passersby.
Yeah. In which I replied, I said, wasn't it great that we live in a country where we can express our opinions on these matters, and he just turned around and walked away from that.
Isn't it amazing how resistant people can be to hearing anything that runs counter to what they've been conditioned to believe is true?
Well, and a good explanation, the perfect explanation mm-hmm. for that came from Hoppe Heidelberg, mm-hmm. and he said this is cognitive dissonance. In other words, people can't, their brains can't click around something like that. They're physically unable to accept the truth. And
Hoppy's speech was the last one of the night, and it was fantastic.
It was.
He's such a funny person, and he injected a lot of humor and sarcasm into his presentation, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that Monday first, before we go on, we were also interviewed by Fox News.
Right.
A gentleman named Phil Keating, who is the reporter for the Fox News in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he, maybe 5-7 minutes interviewed
right.
us?
They filmed us
and
recorded what we had to say, and we were talking about bombs in the building, and we were talking about the FBI covering up and being thoroughly compromised, and how they the government lied about 9/11, and we spoke so much truth, we knew it absolutely wouldn't air.
Yeah, there's no chance that our interview would have made it to TV, but they did see us out there, and they did film us, and We also asked Phil Keating about Mike Gallagher, who records mm-hmm. in the Dallas Fox News studios, and they said he's a total ass. They said he just comes in here like a prima donna and screaming at people, yelling at people. So that's...
They had erected a very tall metal scaffolding for all the mainstream media news bunnies to use for their live feeds. And so we had media and film crews just everywhere,
yeah.
media trucks blocking the road, and it was really chaotic and frenzied. And we saw Brian Williams, who's looking pretty anorexic these days.
From NBC News, he filled in for Brokaw. And then we had the rally that day, which that was one of the disappointments, that there wasn't enough time actually spent on an activism element or a rally element. We spent too much time, we think anyways, filming a documentary. So we thought that every single person in attendance should have had these flyers that we're handing out. It just says, you know, Oklahoma bombing, cover up, and some basic information,
right.
and then the website. And regrettably, that was one of the big disappointments, was that we didn't have enough of an activist element there.
I can't even tell you how they had this set up. The Secret Service had streets. I mean, there were sections, whole sections of street that were called the Secret Service no man's land, where we shouldn't have even walked at all. And so we couldn't use our banners on certain intersections. We couldn't walk down certain sidewalks. And it was really, we had maps, detailed maps of where we could and couldn't be.
Yeah.
And you try doing that when you're not from a place and you're not familiar with any of the street names
yeah.
or anything.
And it was literally like one block, one corner you could stand on, the corner beside it you couldn't stand on.
Uh-huh.
And Emory actually had like this detailed map. It was like going into Vietnam or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't stand past this crack. Don't have your feet on the pink stones, but you can stand on the white part of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very intense.
Yeah. Now, we're not saying that this was a police state, because by no means was there an element of a police state there. They had the adequate security for the event.
I'd say there was a heavy police presence,
right.
but because of the dignitaries, Cheney and Clinton, who were in town speaking, and other than that, there wouldn't have been all those cops and federal
right.
police and Secret Service, you know, on the
yeah.
scene.
But I do want to tell you one story. When Dick Cheney and Bill Clinton and also former Governor Keating were all inside of a church giving speeches, and they had these big loudspeakers out on the sidewalk, so there were literally thousands of people
mm-hmm.
gathered outside this church. Well, after their speeches were done, they started clearing the steps of the church and the street, and it looked like some of these dignitaries were going to come out. Well, I was sitting there on the curb, literally around thousands of people. I didn't have any flyers or anything
right.
like
and
that.
And the film crew was with you, wasn't it?
Well, the film crew was over to the side. Well, out of all of these thousands of people, one of the Oklahoma City police officers came up, pointed to me and said, "You, out of here." I'm like, "For what?" And they said, "You're not permitted to be in here. You don't have authority to be in here or permission. Out." You know, so I, you know, argued a little bit, but he was like, "You have no permission. Either get out or you're coming downtown
now,
with
we
us."
We have to tell you, we did get credentials.
Right.
We were part of the film crew.
We
and
had
we
press
had our
passes.
Press passes, so there was no reason for him to get kicked out. But we think that the reason that they scoped Victor out and the rest of the film crew that was in there was because everybody had to wear these shirts. Now, you probably, I don't know if you can see this, the front says the date, you know, of the event and of the bombing. And the back says, the Oklahoma City bombing, still seeking the truth 10 years later.
So that's how
we
they
wore black ones.
Right. So they identified me. Lisa said that they had picked out about 12 snipers on the roofs, but it wasn't a police state. We want to make that very, very clear.
Well, they were just making it that way for that event.
Yeah. And so that's what happened there. And also then, the highlight, we think, was the speakers forum, where they had, we're just going to come down or list some of these people here, Jane Graham and V.Z. Lawton, who are both survivors,
right.
Harmon Taylor, who is a lawyer representing them in a court case, Charles Keith, Lisa and myself, who spoke, and again, all these speeches can be found on the Wing TV homepage. Then there was Gabriel Day, who's a 9/11
mm-hmm.
activist, Phil Berg, who faxed in his speech, which was the biggest bunch of malarkey we've ever heard. It was just awful.
There's a lot of illusion. Phil really needs to get up to speed on a lot
exactly.
of 9/11 information.
Yeah. Then there was Craig Roberts, who was fantastic. He has a book called
mm-hmm.
The Medusa File. Then there was two lawyers, or two people talking about the Iraqi or Middle Eastern element, which we think is a smokescreen, and we're going to talk to John Kaminsky here in a minute about that. But then Pat Shannon from the American Free Press, who was phenomenal. Ben Parton, who I think disappointed people because he didn't talk enough about the actual bombing.
I think people expected him to do the same speech and presentation he's done every other time, and those are available online in a lot of different places, and he spoke on different matters today, you know, that particular day. But he did get back to it.
Then it was Don Browning, who's a retired Oklahoma City Police Department officer who was on the scene, and he described what he saw. And then finally, last but not least, was Hoppy Heidelberg, who we can't say enough about this gentleman.
We love Hoppy.
Fantastic, and he's on the ball. He knows what's going on. He's keen. He's sharp. And just, you know, we got a chance to talk to him quite a few times, you know, off to the side. And here's a guy that knows what's going on. But we're going to, before we run out of time here, give a call to John Kaminsky and let him talk about a couple of things.
And also Charles Key spoke, and Chris Emery also.
They were more of the MCs, I guess.
Yeah, they introduced everyone. And then all the speakers got one of these framed certificates at the end, which was really nice.
Now, John was originally scheduled to appear there.
Hello.
Hey, John, it's Victor and Lisa.
Hi, Victor and Lisa.
How you doing?
Hi, John.
Great.
Hey, we got about 6 or 7 minutes here, so we're just saying how you were scheduled to actually appear and speak at this speakers forum at the Oklahoma City rally.
And let me add that you were greatly missed.
Yes, you were. We just wanted to hang out with you more than anything. But your initial, I guess, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Once we found out that Bob Barr was going to be the keynote speaker, tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, I had some hints a little bit before that, just in terms of what people said. But Bob Barr was the capper, because Bob Barr has appeared absolutely nowhere in any kind of progressive thought in history.
Exactly.
So he was a Republican who somehow ran afoul of the Republican elite and got bounced out of Congress. I don't really recall what issue it was over, but he is just... I mean, he had nothing. He has never had anything to do with trying to blow the government's cover on all of these cover-ups.
Right. In fact, Hoppy Heidelberg got so angry at him because he said, "I can't believe we paid all this money to have this guy come here and defend the government."
Right. That's what he ultimately did, was defend the government. And when you have a rally or an event such as this, you want to bring in people that blow their case out of the water, and Bob Barr was just the opposite. And
we had a problem with Barr being there, too.
Very big. And we're going to tell everyone about that a little bit later, but it was a big, big problem. And we'll just say he should not have been at this event.
Right.
Now, John, another thing that we've spoken about this for a couple months now, actually, is with the OKC bombing, there seems to be a big element of people trying to blame now the Iraqis or this Middle Eastern Arab element.
The target group.
Right. Tell us why we shouldn't be following this path.
Well, before I do that, let me just comment one more time on Bob Barr and the disappointment I feel at people who I thought were at the center of the resistance to the government cover-up in Oklahoma City by their producing Bob Barr and by their focusing on peripheral distractions like Iraq.
Yeah.
It's just a terrific disappointment to me to know that when you get to the absolute core of the resistance to the Oklahoma City cover-up, you run afoul of this very suspicious kind of tinkering that seems to be more designed to back up the cover-up.
Right.
To try to crack it. Now, as far as Iraq goes, I've heard a number of different people try to raise this issue, the Middle Eastern connection. Apparently, there are a lot of Middle Easterners who live in Oklahoma, and there were a number of Iraqi traitors who sided with the Bushes and the Clintons and were relocated to Oklahoma. So they, again, like the Patriots, become convenient patsies. Anytime anybody's ever tried to bring that up to me, I just go into my, there were no hijackers on the planes on 9-1-1, and there is a part of the Zionist government public relations apparatus that is constantly trying to blame various Muslims and Middle Easterners for things that they themselves are doing. And
right,
I think
there's
just one more example of it.
All roads always end up leading back to the United States government. No matter how far the octopus arm extends, all roads end up coming back to our government.
Absolutely.
Right. And the other thing they I think they're distracting away from is this Elohim City. And, you know, there's so much evidence of who the actual implementers were here that, you know, if there was any real evidence of this, don't you think the neocons and the Zionists would be pursuing this full force? What they're doing is just throwing out, I think, a red herring or a distraction, aren't they?
The Patriot Movement is such a mess at this point. any kind of Patriot gathering that is scheduled for anywhere is riddled by all these agents.
Exactly.
It's kind of like what somebody told me about the SDS back in the 70s. 4 out of 5 people were government informants.
Right. And that's, in fact, I mean, that's right. How Elohim City was. Is like, it seemed like every prominent player at Elohim City was either with the FBI, the ATF, the CIA, or someone in some form of government.
And at some point, you have to reckon with the idea, as we do all the time, that it isn't any kind of either Patriot or Weatherman or Black Panther or revolutionary kind of impetus that is creating these things that they're fighting. They're creating them themselves, just like they created Al-Qaeda.
Oh, that's so absolutely
John,
true.
We were told that Bob Barr's presence there was to be a media draw and that C-SPAN was supposed to be there filming, yet when we looked around, we saw no mainstream media in the dinner where he was the keynote speaker, so we were kind of puzzled, you know?
Bob Barr, in my mind, Bob Barr has always been completely irrelevant, and for them to drag him into this takes that label onto themselves.
Exactly, yeah. Well, John, we just wanted to bring you on here. Everybody, go to John's site. It's johnkaminsky.com. He's always putting something new up there, new article or whatever, and we look forward, John, to your OKC article.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and thank you again for putting in the time and effort to go check out that OKC thing and getting us all an accurate picture. It's much appreciated.
John, send us that speech you were gonna say. We'd like to read it.
It's coming.
All righty. Take care, John. Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, one last thing about Bob Barr. Mm-hmm. We knew there was something fishy when we got a phone call about 2 weeks before this event, and they said that Lisa and my name had been taken off the flyers, the advertising flyers, along with Wing TV, our website address. And we said, why? Why is it taken off all of a sudden? They said, well, Bob Barr, who's going to be the keynote speaker.
Well, it was just our website.
Our website
that,
address.
But our names were removed and our website off the OKC press release for the American Free Press newspaper.
And they said that Bob Barr was uncomfortable with the website name being on it. So we did a little research on Bob Barr, and we found out that he was actually in the CIA for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I told the organizers, I said, who do you think would want this information off of the press releases, being that it's all the expert testimony and the witness testimony? Who do you think would want this information off? The CIA. So here comes a representative of the CIA. And remember, once CIA, always CIA. And from then on, we knew that there was this pallor over, or this gray cloud over the event, because Bob Barr should not have been there.
He was challenged during the dinner
yeah.
by Victor, by me, and by Hoppy Heidelberg. And I'm sure he didn't appreciate that too much.
Right.
But we really didn't appreciate him.
And even after the event, Hoppy went up to him and started asking him questions. And Bob Barr was saying that there was no way
the government had anything to do with 9/11 or OKC, and Hoppy just turned red in the face. He was so mad.
Yeah, he was just like, I can't believe that we brought this guy here. And what they did was bring someone that reinforced the government's position, and that is inexcusable.
We think that could have been a better choice right there.
Exactly.
And there was good and there was bad about the whole event,
right.
And I'm sure they can see that for themselves.
Right. And we're right now focusing, of course, on the good. But We couldn't come out here and just say, you know, pretend that everything was rosy when it wasn't.
Right.
We
had really hoped the rally would be a much bigger portion of the event.
Yeah.
Rather than this, you know, I mean, we couldn't even really characterize it as a rally.
Yeah, every person there should have had these flyers in their hand and gone to this website.
I mean, we would have had a much higher turnout, I think, if we could have gotten the information to more people just directly on the street.
Exactly. You know? So, anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow. Some of our guests coming up this week are Edgar Steele, also Professor Jim Fetzer on Friday, and a man who's going to talk about vote scam on Wednesday. Also, we'd like to thank
Dylan Avery
for his DVD is finally out, Loose Change, and hopefully we'll be able to make that available. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Mm-hmm. We're glad we're back. Things are going to start changing next Monday on Wing TV. We're going to have a whole new format, a whole different way of looking at things.
Let me just say one more thing. We are still glad we went out there.
Oh, of course.
We're very glad we had a great time, and we got to really hang around a bunch of intelligent, diligent, patriotic people, a lot of people who are trying to get to the truth and get the word out there.
The people that give a damn.
And we would go again.
Oh, by all means. And we traveled, it was about 1,300 miles each way, but it was well worth it. And the people we met at the speakers forum were just phenomenal. We can't say enough about them. So we'll be back tomorrow with Edgar Steele. Mm-hmm. Tonight, tune in. Gianni Hayes, 7 o'clock Eastern Time.
Right.
It's on the Wing TV homepage. Link up to it. We'll see you then, folks. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot going on.
Have a good one.